FNTSY Cup, drafted here at Rockin' Riley's in August. It was a really fun event, as you said, Albie. It was awesome, a fun night, a lot of drinking, a lot of drafting. It was a really good time, and it all came down to this week 16, 50-1 odds for you, 2-1 odds for Glenn, and you guys tied in the fantasy championship. That is your main argument, Albie, that you should win. And Glenn, you know, you got to be the man. He is obviously the defending champion. Glenn, have you calculated the decimal points quite yet?
Not quite yet. Calculator battery went dead, so I'm heading out to Radio Shack right now. I'll let you know in a few minutes.
All right, so 844-843-6879 is the number to call in. Gabriel Morency, Sports Rage, will join us shortly.
I got some comments on Twitter.
What's going on Twitter?
You want to hear?
Yeah.
Our friend Kenny from Philly says, consider they tied in points. How about total points in the league?
Total points in the league. So we gave this information out a little bit earlier in the show. If you go by total points, Glenn was number one seed. Mm. So he finished with points 1,572. Albie, you finished with 1,535. That would be a point for Glenn.
It would be a point. Look, I'm not arguing against any of this. I mean, injuries happen. I'm not a doctor.
But that's not that big of a difference, I don't think, to award Glenn the championship.
Yeah, Ron Cafferty says,
okay,
the tiebreaker should be the percentage points you figure out, keeping it within the week's totals.
Glenn's still working on the percentage points?
He has his calculator broke. He's got a Radio Shack.
Probably,
he
probably has a calculator on his PC or his Mac.
I think he's being facetious about calculating.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you got a phone.
He didn't really seem very interested in doing that for
us. I don't blame him. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Florio.
No, Florio's busy. He's producing a radio show.
That's how Scott always trying to put it on
think.
Somebody
producer
else.
Does nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I give it to you, but you can't count, so, you know.
I know how to. You know what? I can't count. I can count to 27.
Oh.
I got 27. Yeah. Go ahead.
How about four? Like, amount of playoff games in the last 4
years.
Well, I think I was actually a yard short on Drew Brees.
Really?
Yeah, I was just looking.
That sucks.
That really sucks. Wow. So that could be
that
good.
Could end up, we
so
even
decimal
have the
point wise, that could be pretty good.
I mean, you know, that was just flat out garbage. And that would be how it ends for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's
now,
just kind of how it
ends. In most of these you play, are there decimals involved?
You know what? Well, yeah. Number one.
Yeah.
I will say that. The other leagues I play in, we get like, I got a whole list of friends I'm not talking to right now.
Really?
But I think, you know, I'm a competitive dude, man. It's just kind of how I am with a lot of this
stuff.
You're
being very kind to Glenn.
But you know what it is?
Yeah, you're right.
I put something in place with this league. I went with just set it and forget it. Like, I didn't check during the day.
Okay.
And I had a much nicer Sunday.
Well, that was Scott's thing.
Yeah.
So Scott would get the whole way.
I would get a lot of flack on this show because I don't watch live scoring all day.
Yeah.
And I feel like, because if I do, it drives me crazy.
Insane.
I'll be insane. And none of these other guys, especially him, wouldn't believe it. Say, I think you're lying. I'm saying, why? Just because you don't do it? I don't check my scores until 7:30 on Sunday night. There's too much going on, way too much stress. I find I live easier like that.
It's weird, too, because what I find is I get so into my own guys that I don't even really... Weirdly enough, you watch every second of every game. You're red zoning, doing your thing, whatever you're watching. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even tell you what team is doing what by the end of it.
Yeah.
It's completely down to the players now. You know what I mean? It's crazy, but that's just how it is.
Yeah, what's your NFL team?
Giants.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, like, I mean, you know, and that, it's really one of my favorite kind of years for the Giants, too, which is like, you know, you don't think they're really going to be doing all that much at the beginning of the year, and then all of a sudden they kind of turn on towards the end. So, we'll see what happens.
All right. At this point now, we're joined by another witness here.
He's in Dallas.
We're joined by another witness here in this case. That is Gabe Morency, host of Game Time Decisions.
This should be good.
On the Fantasy Sports Network. Good morning, Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. I want to wish everybody a happy holidays, although I'm not in the best of moods the way things went for me. Although I really do appreciate the invite to get my expertise and analysis on the controversy, considering how poorly I did in the Fantasy Cup. It's kind of like hiring a Cleveland Brown player, you know, to break down the playoffs on TV. It's like, so, you know, yeah, we've got three members of the Cleveland Browns here to talk about the Super Bowl future odds. But Well, it's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I'm sure Hugh Jackson will also get an opportunity on CBS coming up soon during the playoffs. You know, Corey, you'd be Hugh Jackson, guys.
So, that'd be cool for Hugh.
All right, Gabe, Albie is next to me in studio. Glenn is on the line. They tied 136-136 in the Fantasy Cup Final. How do you think the winner should be determined, and who do you think the winner should be?
Well, you know what? I'm looking at the records, and I see Glenn's got a better record going into the championship game. That has to be duly noted. I mean, if we're looking at tiebreakers, that's what ultimately it comes down to. And now I'm looking at the teams here, and I'm seeing that Albie gets it done with Chris Thompson in the lineup. That's almost worth like bonus points, isn't it? Like, seriously, the fact that Chris freaking Thompson, like, how did that happen? Like,
there was nobody left.
Can you imagine going into a final thinking, dear God, I got Chris Johnson? Like, so the fact that, Chris Johnson, I look at Glenn's team, and let's be real, the Pittsburgh Steelers carried Glenn. So I'm looking here, and I'm looking at Albie, and he was fighting uphill. DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Thompson. You know, Greg Olsen was on my team. Greg Olsen's reliable, but there was about a five-week span where the Rivera turned him into an offensive lineman because Newton was getting hit so much. So I sort of have more respect for Albie's team just because it was so scrapped together and full of underachievers and busts, as opposed to Glenn's team. Yeah, we got to give credit to Glenn for the crafty drafting of Le'Veon Bell, which I was actually a little bit hesitant of, but I'm a stupid man. So for what it's worth, I hate to do this to Albie, but you know what? It is what it is. It's a cold world. Glenn Lowry. I'm going with my boy Glenn here. I don't have a choice.
There you go. Glenn, you got another vote from another league member there.
And I happen to think he's much better than the Browns. And very wise in his decision.
So, wow.
I appreciate that. I should note, I was on the Cleveland Browns against the San Diego Chargers on the money line.
Game.
I just wanted to note that. And I should note, I wasn't taking the Browns every week. So it wasn't like, so you finally hit it, Morancy. I only jumped on the Browns on the money line twice all year. I thought they could beat that sad sack piece of crap Andy Dalton and the Bengals. I was wrong, but we found somebody else that... Beating the Chargers, just quickly on this too, it proves that God doesn't care who wins football games. Because if he did, Philip Rivers would be like a six-time Super Bowl champion instead of the stiff that he is.
Gabe, I have to give you an opportunity to voice your opinion. Rex Ryan, the Bills, Anthony Lynn, and benching Tyrod Taylor. Because I don't want to talk to you without giving you the opportunity to rage on right here on the Roto Experts.
Well, this is, I appreciate it, Glenn, but it's like, Greg, pardon me, but it's sort of like giving someone 2 minutes to break down the Israel-Palestine conflict. You know what I mean? Oh, so what do you think, on the way out, what do you think about moving the U.S. Embassy to Tel Aviv?
We have a half hour left in the show, Gabe, so feel free.
Yeah, so as far as Rex Ryan is concerned, you know what's crazy? Rex Ryan deserves to be fired. I mean, he was unprepared. I feel, on a more serious note, I think the NFL has passed Rex Ryan by. And Rex Ryan was a good coach. He's a player's guy. He's a rah-rah guy. But he's not a very good X and O guy. He has his schemes, and he does what he does, and he does it over and over. And if it doesn't work, he doesn't adjust. We sort of saw a similar situation with Jeff Fisher. You were a good coordinator when you had Ray Lewis and Bart Scott and Ed Reed, and other teams were playing in two tight end, one wide receiver sets, and there were still fullbacks in the league. It's a different league. It's a different league right now. But the Bills are such a mess and so toxic from top to bottom. The real and... it's not sexy because no one knows who the hell he is, but the real problem as well is Russ Brandon, who's been the president of the Buffalo Sabres and the Buffalo Bills for 20 years. And I don't know, the last 20 years haven't been so great for the Buffalo Sabres or the Buffalo Bills. There's a common denominator there. He was one of Ralph Wilson's guys, but Ralph's gone right now. And I think it's time for Brandon to be gone, too. Pegula's a problem. He's a good guy, but he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's a fan. I wouldn't be surprised if he hires Jim Kelly as an ex-coach, right?
Sure.
If WGR callers want him to. And then you got the Tyrod Taylor situation. But as far as Rex Ryan is concerned, he's an embarrassment to the coaching profession. I don't want to get too personal and say that he tarnishes the legacy of Buddy Ryan. But let me tell you, Rex and Rob are no Buddy Ryan. Unprepared. The dude kicked, he punted for a tie the other day, guys. And he said after that, you know, any coach in America would have done the same thing. Yeah, any dumb coach is about to get fired. And he said, oh, it's easy to say, you know, to go for it. You know, your job's not on the line, and that's what he doesn't get. No, your job was on the line, and you played it close to your stupid sweater vest. And
it looks like it's warm. That's a warm looking sweater vest, okay? But you gotta give him credit for this being in Buffalo and having the sense to grab that very warm looking sweater vest.
No. He's trying to be cool. He's trying to be cool, and oh, look at me. I'm not cold. You notice every other coach is wearing, like, the biggest freaking winter parka Bills jacket they can find. And there's Rex.
Yeah, but doesn't he have many layers of protection there, though, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I didn't want to go down that road, but if someone is very skinny, I get cold easily, so I'm assuming fat people stay. You know, they don't get as cold as quick. It's like, yeah, Rex, you're real cool. Put a damn jacket on, and maybe, you know, your brain wouldn't be frozen all the time. But after the game, you know, he goes, no, I knew. I don't think he even knew that a tie would eliminate them.
No way. Like,
he's not dumb. Yeah. He's not dumb. Okay, guys, so after he punts the ball, because, of course, he trusts his defense, they got gashed, for about 800 yards on the ground in the last three home games. So he trusts his defense, the same defense that allowed Matt Moore to go down the field and get the game-tying drive. And then you got to love it was the icing on the cake, all you need to know about Rex. So he plays it, it's fourth and five, guys, with 4 minutes left. You have a better chance of just picking up the 5 yards than you do trying to get the ball back and what was going to happen after the fact. And, of course, you've got to love the irony of it that Ajayi goes off for like a 57-yard run on the first play after the punt. The Bills had 10 players on the field. They really did, and that's on Rex Ryan. And, you know, Rex Ryan told Pegula yesterday, because Pegula was coming in for meetings and blah, 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 and he basically asked him point blank, are you letting me go? Like, and Pegula said yes. Point blank, yeah, we're going to let you go after the Jets game. And, Rex supposedly told him, well, just do it now then, because I don't think Rex wanted to face the Sharks like you guys. And, hey, Rex, so, you know, how does it feel to be your last? Is this your last game? I think Rex just sort of, it was assisted suicide, basically, with Rex Ryan's coaching career. And 2016's been rough, man. George Michael, Princess Leah, Prince, Muhammad Ali, Gary Shandling, Kimbo Slice.
Oh,
I could go on and on, but chalk up another death to 2016, the Ryan brothers' coaching career. Because you'd have to be dead or dumb to hire these jackasses.
Gabe, who's on Game Time Decisions today?
Today, we got Brian Blessing, actually, longtime Buffalo Bill fan out there in Vegas, longtime host in Vegas, is going to join me. And the lovely Ashley Docking, actually, going to join me in studio.
How about that?
And we're going to talk about how soft Kevin Durant is.
There you go. Game Time Decisions, Gabe Morency on the Fantasy Sports Network. Thanks for hanging out with us for a few minutes, Gabe.
It's always a pleasure, and so sorry, Albie, but I got to go with Glenn on this one.
Is what it is. I'll remember next year.
All right.